Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, where we believe that world transformation begins with gospel transformation, and gospel transformation begins with discovering the truth about who God is and who you are. And it starts right now.
Welcome to another episode of the Community Conversations podcast. I am really excited about this episode because I've got a brand new guest on this week. And so I'm going to be sitting down to talk with Jamie Chant.
Yeah.
Jamie, how are you doing?
Good to be here. Glad to be here.
Good.
It's exciting. Pretty proud of what the team has done with this.
Yeah.
Community Conversations.
It's coming along.
You and Braden. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's coming along. Still got some work to do in the space,
yeah.
But it's...
But yeah, our people are enjoying it, and they're growing through it, and that's the key.
Yeah.
They're equipping people, and that's the life of the church.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's been fun. We've enjoyed the whole process.
Yeah, we've enjoyed watching, listening.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Jamie, I thought it would be fun just for... And I understand that probably a lot of our listeners at this point are part of our community, but I also want to recognize that there may be people even in our community or listeners outside of our community who may not really know you, kind of know your story.
Yeah.
Where we come, you know, where you came from and how we got to where we are today.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be fun. So, of course, me and my wife are Canadian. We moved here probably 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're in Canada. And we were in a pretty healthy church in Canada, great worship. I started out as a worship leader and a youth pastor, but... we had great worship services, great altar services, had supernatural stuff happening, but got an invitation to move to Georgia and be a part of a church there. We were there a couple of years, and the senior pastor that hired us left, a new pastor came in, and you know, a lot happened in that form. But we ended up having a kind of a break-off revival from Brownsville that was going on back in that day, and we had a 4.5-5 year revival.
Wow.
And it was like 4 or 5 nights a week.
Wow.
And leading.
And that's up there in Canada?
That was actually in Georgia when we moved
when
here.
When you moved here.
Yeah,
okay.
In Calhoun.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool being a part of that. And we don't know how we did it. Me and my wife looked back. It had to be supernatural, singing 3 and 4 hours a night, doing worship and altar services and stuff.
Yeah.
So we kind of jumped in right into an encounter when we moved down here. And I started walking through different levels. You know, I was a youth pastor. I was a fill the gap, everybody.
Yeah.
And I taught a bit and preached a bit during revival, at least twice a week, and did worship mostly. But so that's kind of where the journey began down south for us. And we loved the South. And how we ended up here in this area was during revival, we had several speakers come in from different places. But we had a prophetic guy come in, and at the end of the service, he called me over, and he said, I have a word for you, and I'm going to give it to you, but I couldn't give it over the mic. I couldn't give it publicly because I didn't know how it would be received. And I said, okay. And he said, where you're going, denomination can't go with you. And I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Like that's from God, you know, because in my opinion, me and Darlene bled the denomination blood we were in. We thought that was our future.
Yeah.
And we sat on that for several years. And all of a sudden, man, things just started going there. We began to feel called out. And even in the midst of revival, it was like there was really never a full satisfaction of what was happening in our lives.
Sure.
We still felt like there was something else, something more.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what that looked like.
Yeah.
So I got up one morning and just like didn't want to go to church. And Dar was like, what?
Yeah.
Because I lived and breathed, you know, anything spiritual. And she was like, what? And I said, yeah, I don't know. I just don't feel like doing this. And so we went on a journey of processing, okay, like where are we going to go and what's this look like? And so we got offered, and I'm skipping lots, but we, because it's such a long story, but we got offered a church up here. It was funny because I had lots of great offers on the table, I had some great churches out in Louisiana. I had some huge black churches that were offered to me at that time was, yeah. you know, was the sound, you know, yeah. I was doing Clint Brown worship and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so when they offered us Chickamauga, it wasn't inviting. It was like about sure. 35 people, you know, 9 months behind payments and bills.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was like, yeah, you're not doing me a favor. You're taking me out of a church that's been in revival of several thousand people and put me in a church of 35.
Wow.
What I did know was my wife was sneaking up, her and her friends, and driving around the church praying, asking if it was the Lord. I just kind of said, nah, I'm not doing that. Yeah. I've been in this team too long not to be offered something better.
Sure.
You know?
Wow.
And so, and she just felt like it was the Lord. She said, wow. Finally, she just came clean and said, hey, I need to tell you this. Like, we've been doing this, and I feel this is God.
Wow.
And so I had to change my approach, and I started putting some fleeces out, which I don't normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And God began to answer every fleece. And so you can imagine, we left that revival, went into a church where they're still leading worship with a redback hymnal.
Yeah.
And everybody's sitting and hardly anybody's singing.
Totally different experience.
Totally different.
Wow.
Yeah. And we just kind of, I was kind of burnt out a little bit on revival, I guess. So when I got there, I told the Lord, like, hey, I'm not praying for anybody. I don't want anybody falling out. I don't want anybody, you know, I'm just going to get up and preach and just try to do something normal for a break. And it showed up without me, which was the coolest thing about it.
Wow.
Like, you know, we were there a couple of services and people are running around the church. People are falling out in spirit by themselves. And
yeah,
and we seen this kind of a religious entity all of a sudden just empowered by the Holy Spirit. So we just kind of went on that journey.
Yeah.
And for several years, we're very successful. At one time, we were running about 1,300 people and several services, Friday night fire service, Wednesday night teaching. Yep. I was doing it all at first.
Yeah.
But, and even in that place where we thought success was, there was something missing.
Sure.
For us.
Mm-hmm.
And it took us a while to realize that our focus for the kingdom was not focused on the kingdom. It was focused on a kingdom that we were trying to build.
Sure. Yeah.
And it wasn't life-giving.
Mm-hmm.
It was very work-driven, produce-driven, everything that we could do to make it happen.
Yeah.
And even though God honored our hearts, we loved God. It wasn't that we didn't love God, but we were definitely, we loved people, but we were more about numbers. It was more about the brag of this is how big we are. This is how big our church is.
Yeah.
This is what's happening. And, you know, we get the numbers from the Church of God state office. You're in among the top 10 fastest growing churches in the state. And we're like, this is what it's all about.
Yeah.
But we became very unfulfilled. And both of us came, me and Darlene both came to a place, you know, if this is all there is, if this is it, I think we may want to do something different.
Wow.
For the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
And so we love speaking into married couples. We love some of that stuff. We really had no idea about the journey until we really made our mind up. We brought Alan Jones in from, you know, Supernatural School in Nashville and at Grace Center. And we decided to go ahead and commit to that for a year.
Yeah.
And there was some stuff we knew that they taught, but there was some stuff that we hadn't discovered yet. And for us, the big thing was the Father heart of God.
Yeah.
I never really, or the inner healing thing, I never really understood. I mean, we did deliverance. We'd seen deliverance. We'd seen that stuff.
Right.
But we'd never understood the individual encounter of inner healing for ourselves. The Father heart of God really changed us.
Yeah.
So during COVID, which was so funny, during COVID, I get up one morning and went in the living room. We were kind of out for a couple of weeks. I got up, went in the living room, I'm sitting in the room, and I'm doing my devotion time with the Lord. And the Lord said, it's time to leave. And I'm like, what do you mean it's time to leave? He said, it's time to leave, covenant. It's time for you to step out. I said, Lord, this is a terrible time to leave. Right. I can't even get into, you know, talk with anybody or communicate. God says, it's time to leave, Jamie.
Wow.
And you know, some of you guys know the journey. We didn't know if we were going to have a building then.
Yeah.
We didn't know what it looked like for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we just kind of, I wrote my letter of resignation, sent it in, met with the overseer and told him I was leaving. And he was pretty bewildered.
Sure.
You know, to him, you got a great church, you know, great salary, you're doing awesome. Why would you leave this, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, it was kind of hard to explain.
Mm-hmm.
it was a little bit about just moving into the step of what God had for us next. Also, there was, you know, there's a lot to do with legacy for us, mm-hmm. having people that we could do the journey with and grow with, that not only they, but their children's children could be a part of something
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
You know, and mm-hmm. that was an important thing for us. And I began to see that over and over again in the Old Testament with the priest.
Yeah.
You know, their sons and their sons and their sons, mm-hmm. you know. And that could be spiritual sons, it could be physical sons, but we see that revelation. So we ended up here and we feel so confident and so great about the journey we're in mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah.
You know, even the transition.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're in that other world, mm-hmm. anything that's not with you at the top seems like a demotion.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you want to be the leader,
it's
right?
Easy to see it that way. Yeah.
So, it was a cool transition for us.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you have any other questions about that, but that's just kind of our journey, a quick version of our journey to getting where we were. And once again, we've experienced a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. like fire of God, cloud showing up in the service. Everybody's seeing it, almost touchable.
Yeah.
300 or 400 people falling out at one time in the presence of God. People standing up during worship, yelling, "We're healed." People standing up, yelling, "I can hear, I can see." I mean, just crazy stuff.
Wow.
And services went like, you know, we started at 7. I would come back and check. There'd be still people at the altar 2:00, and I'd just throw them the keys and say, "Hey, lock up when you leave. Put the keys in the mailbox."
Wow.
So, you know, we didn't go to CDs then. I mean, we led worship. So it was like 3 or 4 hours of worship a night.
Yeah.
And people coming from all over the world. It was a real cool thing. But it's interesting that how that can become about us so quickly and not about him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the journey that me and Darlene, I think that's helped us walk in some of the changes we've had recently,
mm-hmm.
is where we realize it's really about him.
Yeah.
Really about presence and really about doing all we can and being obedient to what we're called to do to protect that element of people being in their proper place and walking in presence.
Yeah. I think, you know, it can be hard to find a healthy, sort of a healthy balance or a healthy way of thinking about, you know, the signs and the wonders and the miracles, because we love that stuff.
Totally.
But you're right, it can very easily become less about the like actually serving and loving and living in communion with the Father,
mm-hmm.
and more about what can he do for us, you know? And it's really easy to slip into that.
Yeah.
And you see that, you know, read the Old Testament, the Israelites, they had all the signs and wonders. You know, things that, you know, we could hardly even imagine.
Yeah.
And still, that wasn't quite enough for them to draw them to the heart of the Father.
Right.
You know?
Right. And this is the first time I think we've really been in a church where we can say we've got, this is family.
Yeah.
This is an Acts-style environment. And we're not fully there. I mean, we're still discovering that. I don't think we ever fully arrive. I think we just walk out our journey.
Yeah.
And the thing I like the most about where we're at right now, you know, being a part of a denomination, I'm not against denomination if that's what you're, you know, want to be in, but being in a denomination, like our mentality was always, hey, if you don't believe what we believe, there's another church down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And the beautiful thing about this is the ability to grow in family and to be able to disagree and be able to ask questions and be able to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've developed a very healthy community. It may not be the mega church that everybody's after, but we've developed a very healthy community that's teachable.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is a key to moving in the journey of the kingdom.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And so we've got you and Brian and Brian and Noah and Stephen and so many other people that have the ability to get up and speak. And it's neat to hear different approaches, but yet the same truths.
Yeah.
And hear different perspectives and see our people growing and processing through it.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah. You know, if you read the Gospels and you pay attention to how Jesus led his guys, he asked questions all the time and he loved for them to ask questions.
Absolutely.
You know, and he created that kind of environment where he didn't demand that people thought the way he did. He just introduced them to truth and kind of let them kind of figure things out, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
And that's so challenging. People don't realize how challenging it is to be preaching a certain way for 20 some years. and all of a sudden be introduced. My wife says it so brilliantly. People always ask us the toughest part of the growth aspect is the unlearning.
Yeah, that's good.
It's stepping into the process of, it's not that everything you knew was not true. It was true. But for some reason, you've convinced yourself that you have everything there is to know about that truth,
mm-hmm.
and it stunts your growth.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you start learning something different, something new. And it's like, well, if I believe that, and now I have to adjust. I don't have to get rid of this.
Yeah.
I have to adjust this.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not look like what it looked like for me
right.
before.
Yeah.
And so me and Darlene would get home days after school, and I know you did the school too, and we'd be sitting in the room like, oh, what do you think about that today? Like,
yeah,
like, have angel visitation and different things like that, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, like, I don't know what to think of that,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so it was a hard, you know, many, many months to walk through that process. And not only that, to get up and relate this new revelation or message that you had
mm-hmm.
or have to where you're going now.
Yeah.
And it's funny, it seems, you know, I mean, we even had people leave, and their reason for leaving was I preach too much on love.
Yep.
You know, because people mm-hmm. always want the dynamic there. And
yep.
and so it's cool to be not so much information driven now
mm-hmm.
as just searching for more and more stuff that can lead us closer and closer and closer to the presence, or deeper in the presence. I know he's always here. I get all that. But but it may be a better saying it this way, recognizing
mm-hmm.
better what presence looks like for us.
Yeah, practicing being aware of that.
Yeah. So, and I, once again, we have an amazing staff, and we're all, I love that we're all growing together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this transition that we went through, even just with Noah now,
mm-hmm.
you know, I had people say, are you okay? Totally okay. You know, because our heart is to be where God wants us to be in every part of the journey,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, and that's where you discover your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always loved people. I've always had a pastor's heart, and you know, and I've had years where I've led and been it's been fun, it's been great. But this part of our lives, me and Darlene, with what's happened in us individually, it's once again, it's become so much more about people
mm-hmm.
that we just felt like, you know what, this is, I want to be connecting.
Yeah,
I want to be connecting to lives. I want to be.
Yeah.
Personally encountering people, personally fathering people spiritually, and being that person
mm-hmm.
in the house. And, you know, and I hate to say it this way, but coming up with all the ideas for what's next, whether they're spiritual or they're not spiritual, or if they're just ideas.
Yeah.
You know, when you get a little older, sometimes it's like, hey, the church is moving so fast, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was in the church 15 years ago, 20 years ago, like the church was like just putting along slow, but you could keep up with the transition of worship, the transition of doctrine, the transition of whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like probably 10 years ago, it was like somebody pushed a fast forward button and you're just moving into this different wave of revelation. Guys like Bill Johnson, Graham Cook, you know, all these different speakers come out with this new, Damon Thompson, all these guys that have had their encounter before us. But you've got guys like Damon and Mark and these guys that have stepped into the same kind of encounter, you know, several years ago. And other guys I know now, even from other churches that I've known, that are stepping into this level. It's happening like that. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really been amazing to see you and Darlene navigate this transition too. You know, for you to sit here and say that you know, you're doing really well with this, and that you're happy that this is, you know, the direction things have gone. Because not every leader would be in the position to say that. I think, you know, and you know, you and Darlene, so we've been with you guys. We were talking about this earlier. I think it was about summer of 2016.
Yeah.
I think we started kind of coming around Covenant Life, getting to know you guys a little bit. So it's been like 8 years, right?
Yeah.
And you guys have always, you've always modeled such a lifestyle of humility. You know, even you talk about going back and putting yourself in kind of a school type environment.
Yeah.
You know, you'd been pastoring for, at that point, what, 25 years at least, you know?
Yeah.
And so to kind of take a step back and say, well, maybe there's a little bit more that we can learn, you know, and you've just always kind of modeled that humility. And then to see that carry all the way through into this transition.
Yeah.
For you to recognize, yeah. that I think it's time, you know, that's for a lot of people. That's not an easy thing.
Yeah.
Easy thing to do.
Yeah. And it's cool because you take such pride in watching other people's maturity, where I think that's one of the greatest revelations about the Father Heart of God is it's no longer about us. It's about, mm-hmm. it's about the people we're doing life with, the people we're called to do life with, the people yeah. we're called to connect with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a different transition than just about, it's about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once again, this has been, I'm proud of all my staff. I'm proud of my kids. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of Noah.
Yeah.
He's just taken this thing on. He's coming into his call. And it could have been anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It really, it's not like I was like, I'm saving this till my kid gets old enough. You know, if Noah would have never come back, I still believe that we've grown enough to the part where we still would have been looking for the person next to mm-hmm. carry this.
Yeah.
And honor them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the truths that I think I was really blessed to discover way back when I didn't really know anything, I've always had a hunger for the Word.
Mm-hmm.
When I got saved, it was like God took all these other cravings I had and replaced it for a hunger for the Word.
Wow.
And so I couldn't get enough of it. And one of the thing, early revelations I had without anybody even telling me, and I think it was the Holy Spirit, the first pastor I served under was just volunteer base. And I was pretty excited, you know, I'm mm-hmm. getting a chance to do some ministry. And the Lord said, he said, you know, your job here is to see him be successful.
Okay.
And I was like, what, Lord? He said, I know you're going to be doing youth, you're going to be doing worship, but your job here is to help him fulfill
yeah.
what I've called him to do here. And I've carried that in every kind of position I've had with pastors.
Yeah.
And I think when you have people come up under, and it's not because we're earning anything, we're not. You know, I spent my life trying to earn mm-hmm. sonship. Now I'm living from sonship,
right.
which is totally different. But I think you're talking about humility. I think that's a level of humility you don't even recognize that God develops in you, where you say, Lord, you know, I'm okay. And I actually got to a point before we got called to pastor church. I just sat down one morning, like probably 3 months before we got offered, you know, this church here. I sat down 3 months. I sat on the sofa. I said, Lord, you know, I'm content for the rest of my life to help somebody else
wow.
fulfill their vision.
Yeah.
And it was just like the Lord said, okay.
Yeah.
And 2 months later, we're getting a call, hey, we got a church we'd like you to go look at, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, wow. Yeah, whatever. It's crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
So you walk out the journey sometimes, you don't even know what's happening in you.
Mm-hmm.
So I never saw myself as a super humble guy. I was just walking it out according to, you know, I felt what the Lord was doing
yeah.
in us.
Yeah.
You know. And so we love where we're at, where we're at. We love our community. We love mm-hmm. everything about our church right now. And I think everybody else is the same place. It's nice to come in and not everybody's wondering, how come we're not full yet? How mm-hmm. come we're not this yet? How yeah. come we're not that?
Yeah.
And we are getting some folks come, but even though it's not about that, really.
Right.
It's about people coming that are wanting to be in what we're in
yeah.
and stepping in and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing is we're still growing.
Yeah.
We're still stepping into new truth, and it's still changing us. And I think that is the most beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I watch you guys, you know, I watch you and Noah, another staff member, you know, communicate. And you do believe different about each different things, you mm-hmm. know, and it's welcomed.
Yeah.
It's celebrated.
Yeah.
It's man, that's yeah. something I didn't have for 20 years.
Yeah.
In Christianity, because everything was a threat.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. To who I was.
Yep.
And so now it's like, hey, you know, I don't have all the answers.
Right.
I probably never will, mm-hmm. but I'm going to do the journey. And God will give me what I need to know for where I'm going.
Yep.
And so that's been fun.
Yeah. You know, that's something that you'll notice if you pay attention to. So one of the things Jesus said to his disciples, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees
yeah.
and of Herod, or not of Herod.
I know who you mean, yeah. It's not Herod.
Herod. That was, yeah.
yeah.
I went blank just now.
Yeah.
But he was referencing the, you know, the political spirit yeah. and the religious spirit.
Yeah. The Sadducees and the Pharisees it was. Yeah.
And if the yeast of the Pharisees.
Yeah. And the Sadducees.
Yeah. And if you pay attention to you know, highly political and highly religious, you know, spheres.
Yep.
The further you go into politics and the further you go into religion, the more questions are not allowed.
Right.
You'll notice that.
It's true. It's true.
People aren't comfortable having their ideas questioned, and they're not comfortable kind of debating different thoughts and ideologies.
Yeah.
The further you go into that.
Yeah.
And so you come out of religion and you realize actually it's okay to think a little differently.
It is.
And it's okay to work out our thoughts, and it's okay to work out, you know, our beliefs on certain things.
Totally. And we've settled for we know our truth, and that's it's such an insult for me to say I know everything there is to know about grace or the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If He's constantly guiding us into truth, there has to be a willingness to move into that.
Yeah.
And once again, you hear me say this all the time, and show us things to come. I think a large part of that prophetically declaring what we look like if we embrace that truth, if we grow with that truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit says, hey, I'm going to give you this truth. If you process it and walk with me through it, this is what's going to look like for you in your life out there.
Yeah.
And you're going to be a different person on the journey. Yeah. Every bit of truth is, and I was talking about, you know, Noah, worship and truth are probably the most ultimate transformational aspects of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Worship creates transformation.
Yeah.
You can't worship and be in presence and not be transformed.
Yeah.
And you can't connect with the Holy Spirit and drinking in truth and not be transformed. It's almost impossible.
Wow.
Unless you reject it.
Yeah.
Unless you don't want to be that.
Yeah.
And so it's so true. It's hard to grow. And I don't think me and Darlene intentionally, and not that we were bad people, we weren't. We were doing what we knew to do.
Mm-hmm.
We were living in the space that we choose to live in.
Yeah.
You know, and but at the same time, we always look back and our both of our prayers has always been, Father, we just want to be what you're doing in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And little did we know that prayer was one of the things that would constantly open the gate for us to God to say, hey, you willing to do this?
Right.
And God's never said, do this. It's mm-hmm. always said, hey, son, like, what about this?
Yeah.
And I'd like to say every decision's been easy, but my gosh, it was like, 20 some years before the time we got the word where you're going, denomination can't go with you, to the last 5 years before we actually left Covenant.
Yeah.
Everywhere we went, we were getting that word.
Wow.
The first time we saw Max Navarro up in Nashville, in a church, didn't know anybody, didn't know Max Navarro. He walks out and gets on stage, looks down at us and says, I don't know who you are, what you're doing, but wherever you're going, denomination can't go with you. I mean, Darlene, you're like, okay, I guess God's awakening this prophetic utterance in our life. I mean, we'd like the prophetic to happen in 2 weeks, but sometimes, sometimes I may not be there. I may not be in that position yet. So I think there's a big part of, once again, you know, what does this mean? What must I do?
Yeah.
Positioning ourselves to walk that out.
Mm-hmm.
And if without Darlene, I'm so thankful that she's been hungry, if not more have a hunger for greater truth, like really, like I'll get a truth and she's like, oh, I'm already into another truth past that truth.
Yeah.
And so she's been super hungry and super unsatisfied with the stationary place of her growth.
Sure.
Like never content to say, oh, I could spend the rest of my life just living in this truth.
Mm-hmm.
She's been super hungry for that. And hopefully our kids have seen that. And hopefully our kids are catching on like, okay, this is what the journey looks like. The journey is actually a journey.
Right.
With being teachable, processing and walking life out with Christ and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
You know, so, and people coming in, like you and your wife and others coming in and having your encounters with the Holy Spirit and growing and stepping into what God has. Who would have thought, you know, you met Noah in Chicago. I mean, who would have thought you'd be down here living in his mother and father's church, being a part of what, I mean, you can't write this stuff.
No, you couldn't make it up.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a guy. And Stephen, the same way. And Brayden. Brayden's been with me forever. We just love it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much excitement. And we're thrilled about what we're doing now. yeah. loving people, pastoring yep. people, equipping people,
yep.
Helping people through their life crisis and marriage crisis and ministering to the sick and doing all the stuff that we're excited about doing.
Yeah, I love that. Let's take a really quick break.
Okay.
And we'll hear a word from our sponsor.
Okay, cool.
Looking for the perfect Airbnb getaway? Look no further than Maggie's Place, your ticket to an unforgettable stay in Sevierville, Tennessee. Nestled in the heart of the stunning Smoky Mountains, Maggie's Place is not just an Airbnb, it's an experience you won't want to miss. This charming 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath townhome offers all the comforts of home with a touch of Tennessee charm. Imagine waking up to the serene beauty of the mountains, sipping your morning coffee on the porch, and planning your day of adventures in the Smokies. And the best part is, Maggie's Place is just minutes away from all the attractions, dining, and entertainment that Sevierville has to offer, not to mention close to Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg. Ready to make your Smoky Mountain dreams come true? Visit Maggie's Place on Airbnb today to book your stay and start creating unforgettable memories. For more information, contact Kim Balistrieri at 770-548-0902.
All right. So during the break, I got thinking and I want to share the story. So you had kind of mentioned briefly, you know, that you couldn't write the story of how everything has come together,
right?
Where we are, who's along for the ride,
totally.
Where we met, when we met, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was, and I think probably most people don't know this. So I had mentioned that it was around 2016 that Katie and I started like really going to Covenant Life,
yeah.
and decided, you know, we'd prayed about it and the Lord was like, yeah, this is where I want you guys.
Yeah.
But 4 years before that, in 2012, I was a senior at Covenant College, and it was right around that time that I was introduced to the Holy Spirit, that yeah. he was, you know, and I was having these nights, and this is a much longer story. I'll tell the shortened version of it, but yeah. I'd become friends with Judah. Judah is Jamie and Darlene's nephew, if you guys don't know. And he's been one of my best friends for a long, long time. Yeah. We both lived in the Chicago area. And, you know, I was friends with him, and I didn't really know what he believed. You know, I didn't grow up Pentecostal. I didn't know the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
and he did. And I didn't know that. He didn't yeah. really really let me in on that for a while.
Yeah, that sounds like him.
But then it was my senior year. Stuff started happening, and I started having these radical, amazing encounters with the Holy Spirit. And Judah was one of the only people in the world I knew who knew what I was going through.
Yeah,
and so
cool.
I was calling him every day.
That's so
and we
cool.
were talking, and he was kind of walking me through, you know, what I was experiencing. But I would have, it was night after night after night. I would go down. I was living in this cabin at the time up on Lookout Mountain, and I would go into my room in the basement. And every single night, I just felt this, like, this drawing, this something was pulling me to just be alone
yeah.
with him.
Wow.
And that was something I've never felt before. And I would lay on the floor and I would get down on my face and I would just weep. And I didn't really know what was happening. I didn't know why I was crying. I didn't know.
Yeah.
But all I knew was that the presence of God would fill the whole room.
I love that.
To a point, I've never felt it quite like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, I imagine that if I looked around, it would have been cloudy in there. You know, it's just
right.
that kind of
yeah.
weighty,
yeah.
you know, the glory,
totally.
And the presence just filling
yeah.
the room. And that was happening night after night after night.
That's awesome.
And I'd call Judah. I'd be like, Judah, what's happening? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. My friends didn't understand. You know, my family didn't really understand. I didn't yeah. have a lot of people. I would try to talk to my friends, you know, who I was living with at the time. And, you know, it was all weird.
You were kind of demon-possessed.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody really had a grid for yeah. what I was trying to talk about. And so one time Judah's here. He's in town. And he says, hey, he says, my uncle is a pastor around here. He said, I'm going to, you know, I'll be there at his church on Sunday. Why don't you, you know, come on by and, you know, just come to a service with me.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, you know, no problem. And at that point I had been known that I was wanting baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't
yeah.
know too much about what that meant. I just knew that I think that felt like the next step for me
yeah.
and where the Lord was leading me. And so at this point I'd never met you. And so Judah brings me to your church. And I don't really remember much about the service. I don't remember the worship. I don't remember what you spoke on.
Yeah.
But after the service, Judah said, hey, would you like my uncle to pray for you? I said, yeah, sure. And you didn't know me. You didn't know what I was going through. And you started just praying and just speaking and prophesying pretty much everything that I was kind of going through and, wow. and thinking through. And this was, you know, almost 12 years ago.
Yeah.
11 and a half years ago.
That's
at this
crazy.
Point. And I remember standing there in the middle of that sanctuary and I had my eyes closed. And that was the first time, you know, people who know me, when I get in the presence, my leg shakes, you know, and that yeah. still happens. Well, that was the first time that ever happened was you started wow. praying for me.
Wow.
And I felt, you know, and I felt the Holy Spirit kind of come on me. And then, you know, I had my eyes closed and I thought maybe it was just a couple of minutes and then you kind of moved on and, you know, you felt you'd, you know, done and said all you needed to. Yeah. And so Judah kind of stayed with me and I kept my eyes closed the whole time. And I thought it had only been like a couple minutes. And I opened my eyes and like the sanctuary was empty, though everyone was gone. I didn't know how, I couldn't tell you how long I stood there, but I just stood there kind of shaking, and trembling yeah. and not, you know.
Yeah.
And so that all that to say is, you know, the way I met Judah and I met Noah, you know, probably 13 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and just to think how the Lord would
That's crazy.
Would weave those stories together to where we are here now today. You know, is amazing. It really yeah. shows the intentionality of the Lord.
It really
in,
does.
In placing people and in bringing people together.
Yeah. yeah. And we yeah. forget that. We forget how intentional he is.
Yeah.
He is so intentional mm-hmm. and he's so personal.
Yeah.
And I think we've had several people that have had that transition in their life. I remember that day you come in and I remember saying to, Judah, when he left, I said, I think your friend really got touched today. You said, yeah. He got rocked today. I said, okay. I said, well, we're glad we have yeah. him. Tell him we're here if he yep. needs us, you know. And it's just amazing. And just some of the people, even when Mateo was here, I mean, mm-hmm. we've had incredible people come through and be a part of
yeah.
Of the process mm-hmm. Of where we're going. And yeah, it's been such, that there's so much peace and joy in finally for me and Darlene in doing, I hate to call it ministry, but in doing the journey and the callings that God has placed on our life in this season.
Yeah.
And that is everything
mm-hmm.
to me, that if you can do this and feel, and we're still growing, and that's yeah. fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun to know that, you know, that you're positioned yourself in a way that you get a revelation or what you feel is a revelation. And then next week you, it's like, but let me show you this part of that. And it's just so exciting to, I'm so excited to even start with the Saturday workshop I'm doing on hearing the voice of God.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know what life would have looked like for me. I can't say that I've ever said I'm not hearing God. In my entire life.
Wow.
Even though I may not have been where I am now, spiritually in maturity.
Right.
But I don't know what I would have done without the voice of God constantly in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And so this is, and it's ongoing now. Mm-hmm. And I think it's louder for all of us than it's ever been before.
Yeah.
You know, this the revelation that you and Noah and some of these guys, you know, people bring, and we've got good guys like Bert and some guys that are have experienced and traveled mm-hmm. and connected with people. But it's just amazing to sit back for me. I know people are sitting going, I wonder if he's missing preaching. Yeah, I can teach or preach. It's not a big deal. But there's more of a celebratory heart that me and Darlene have when we see the people that God's connected to us to get up and say, hopefully we were a little part of that,
mm-hmm.
you know, just a little part of that. Lord, I know they don't need me, but Lord, hopefully we were a little part of that, that little maybe push up mm-hmm. and encounter with the Holy Spirit to help them move into that place. And, you know, I have an actual physical son, but I have a lot of spiritual sons that I'm very, very, very mm-hmm. proud of.
Yeah.
To watch them walking out and seeing the anointings mm-hmm. on their life. And that, I think the most fun thing is they're not anything like me.
Mm-hmm.
They don't teach like me, don't speak like me.
Right.
And I think, you know, back in the day, all we had was mentorship. I want to be just like you. I want to preach like you. I want to lead like you. Mm-hmm. Where the freeing thing about the Father, having the Father heart of God and being spiritual fathers is, you know, helping people discover who they are.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yep.
And seeing that. So we couldn't be more content, me and Darlene, with I mean, you know, with where we are, what we're experiencing,
mm-hmm.
Not going in and worrying about, gosh, well, you know, I thought we'd have 300 people by now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the farthest thing from our mind.
Yeah.
It's just going with a group of people and enjoying presence.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, for me, honestly, I'm really not time driven much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to do whatever.
Yeah.
You know, when I preach, I get antsy because I got truth I want to deliver, but it's still like, hey, Lord, if this is what you're doing, this is what you're doing. And it's taken a long time for us to get that way.
Yeah.
And we learned some of that in revival. Mm-hmm. We did learn some of that. We did learn to some level that it was about presence.
Yeah.
But it can easily adapt into a religious spirit. That's the crazy thing about when you're growing in the Lord. You know, a spirit of religion adapts really quick.
Mm-hmm.
When we get to thinking, well, we're the only church that's really got it going on, and we've got truth. They don't really know what they're talking about. The religious spirit is such a dangerous, wicked spirit.
Yeah.
And you have to really protect yourself against that because we have so many people that are coming that have never experienced the truth that we're sharing that are being touched by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so you come in and others come in, man, it's just a fun thing.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see you and my, you know, Noah and Abby and my kids and their kids doing life together and Stephen.
Yeah.
Like that in and of itself to me. Yeah. You know, we've got a couple at the church. Me and Darlene have been best friends since we've been almost 30 years, Jason and Crystal.
Yeah.
And people say, you guys have been best friends for 30 years. Yeah, we've been best friends for 30 years. And other people that we know we've been best friends for a long, long time. It's such a rarity because, you know, you have to build those relationships.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're doing with a church concept now.
Mm-hmm.
We're building community.
Yeah.
We're building family.
Yeah.
And those relationships are so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, once again, this has been a great journey. I don't look back and see my journey and say, oh, Lord, we could have skipped that part and just jumped to this. I'd have been a lot better off. I maybe be doing this again. I may be better in this situation. The Lord kind of says, well, now there, it's about you again.
Yeah.
It's not about me again.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to stay focused. You have to stay positioned. And remind yourself that, hey, Lord, I'm here for whatever you want to do, whatever that looks like. And that was with us in the transition with Noah.
Yeah.
And all the staff
transitioning.
It was like, okay, Lord, like if this is what we have to do to be moving in the direction you want us to go,
mm-hmm.
hey, have at it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Without even thinking, you know, like, hey, I'm being demoted. I'm not as important,
mm-hmm.
you know? To be honest with you, we never even considered that.
And I think that's a huge key to experiencing real true satisfaction and fulfillment is positioning yourself in a way to say, Lord, what do you have for me in this season?
Yeah.
And knowing and trusting, you know, that whatever he says will actually be the thing that'll be best for you, that'll be best for those around you.
Yeah. Even the simple stuff, Brian, that I've noticed, like you know, telling people they don't have to call me pastor, like that has just rocked people. Some people cannot I just feel like I'm being disrespectful to you. I said, well, my name is actually Jamie. It's not pastor. Yeah. And so I'm okay with you calling me Jamie. And so back in the day, it was like, you know, I want to be called pastor, bishop. We have all these, call me apostle. And I'm not against that. If that's what that's what you want to do. And I know I believe in the fivefold. But I think sometimes it loses its... I don't know. It just loses its intimacy,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I like honoring people. If people need that for me to honor them, I don't have a problem calling a guy a pastor or a bishop. But
I think, I know when I kind of started coming around to the Mateo, we didn't really call you pastor.
Yeah, you called me Jamie.
We called you Jamie, and I think that rubbed some people the wrong way. It seemed like you were okay with it, and so we just called you Jamie.
Yeah, people saw that as so disrespectful.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You know, you have to stop seeing yourself up here all the time, because when you're up here, it holds such a weight of responsibility that you're not meant to carry.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus hung out with the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a lead. He was a Messiah, but he was still one of the guys.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, it's we just want to be we, even though we're okay with the position God's placed us in, but our heart is really to be a part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it when people are uncomfortable with me because of my position,
sure,
or my calling.
Yeah.
And that's not the intention of God. Mm-hmm. Jesus made himself very lovable.
Yeah.
Very likable.
Yeah.
People wanted
very
to be
approachable.
Yeah. People wanted to be around him. And and I think that's what the key element is really about. So it's been a fun transition. It's been a fun course. And I can't even imagine where we're going.
Yeah.
You know, with the new church building and moving in there. And I'm not even dependent upon a new church. I hear people say, when we get the new church, we'll grow. And that's not even my focus.
Right.
It really isn't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about a new facility with nice restrooms and nice everything, you know. And I'm thankful for where we're at the same time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm just excited about us just moving forward gradually in what God has for us in presence and power.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a great year. A lot of people tell me they're dreading 2024. I think this is going to be a great year for us. I think it's going to be a great year for the church as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean the church as a whole.
Yeah.
And so I'm super excited.
Yeah.
I'm super excited.
No, I am too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know we just feel really good about where the church is at, where we're going. You know, we just feel good about kind of where Noah's been taking us,
mm-hmm.
you know, as he's kind of taken over.
Yeah.
And yeah, I, you know, and it's, we're really excited too, just to have a place that we love for our kids to grow up in.
Absolutely.
You know, and our kids love it. You know, Nora talks about the church and she talks about that stuff all the time. And, you know,
it's fun watching that transition. Cause one time me having children in service, worshiping, running around, like, you know, I'd be freaking out. I was so driven by excellence in everything we did at Covenant. And so, and I still believe in a degree to excellence. I think you give your best to what you're a part of.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think we can just make it so fleshly.
Yeah.
And we miss the value of, once again, about people, kids, everybody being in presence is life-changing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Noah realizes, he probably does, even though we made him sit on that front row during revival.
Mm-hmm.
And he may not think that affected him, but it did affected him.
Sure.
Because that's where the presence was.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get affected, we don't even realize we're being affected.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we get truth, we don't even realize till we get home and we process and we go, wow, okay, Lord.
Yeah.
That really affected me. That really, really challenged me.
Yeah.
And so it's fun to be in that place. Now I look back and me and Darlene, we kind of laugh at each other. Because the stuff that would annoyed us before,
right?
Now we welcome.
Yeah.
We see it as a part of community. We see it as a part of family.
Yeah.
You know, when my kids, grandkids are going to come to the house, I'm not going to say, sit on the sofa and don't move, you know?
Right.
This is the holy place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm going to let them enjoy being around their grandparents and their parents and being around family. And I think it's the same concept for Acts.
Yeah.
I think the church still has a lot as a whole to move into.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things we want, we say we want, but we really don't want.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, I hear people all the time say, I would love so much to have revival. Okay, being in revival and being a part of revival is two different things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you don't earn it, but positioning yourself to say, okay, Lord, I'm ready to do whatever I need to do.
Yeah.
I don't believe like I earn anything from God, but I believe when you fall in love, there's different things you do that are different than just having a friend.
Yeah, your priorities shift.
They do. They do.
Yeah.
And so Noah teaching what he's taught and the school was, you know, who knows, maybe someday we'll go back to that, but it was in that season was such a blessing to the core of people we have now.
Yeah.
Now, it's been life-changing.
Yeah.
I thought that was one of the best choices we made, and it was a blessing to a big part of where we are right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too.
You know, it was a lot of work, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of work.
Yeah. But it worth it.
You know? Yeah, totally worth it.
You know, and preaching sermons, I love to preach. But I came to the place, too, in my own life where, like, am I really equipping anybody?
Right.
When you give up and you preach, you know, a couple of hundred messages a year, and you get up and you realize half the people you preach to haven't changed one bit.
Right.
And you're like, okay, Lord, like, so am I just digging for gold and just showing people the gold but never allowing them to actually experience what it's like to have gold?
Yeah.
Yep. And so that was a big transition for me, wanting to be able to get up. I just can't say it enough. It was so hard for me to go from just giving information, which was good information, mm-hmm. to actually feel like, okay, how can I deliver this where it's going to transform somebody's life?
Right.
I told Noah, we would talk about preaching and teaching all the time. I said, no, sometimes there's messages that we have to give that when we're delivering them, they can be, the truth can be seem hard. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's where you have to really pray that the Lord just saturates every word you give with his love. And you mm-hmm. have to come across loving people.
Yep.
And that was a hard transition. You know, that whole concept, I'm going to preach whatever I want to preach. You need to get over it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
Where when you really care about people, you get up. Because I have stuff even now the Lord tells me, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know, I want to share that. And the Lord will say, well, how about if you share it like this?
Yeah.
And because it can have authority.
Yeah.
The Bible says that Jesus spoke with such authority. Authority doesn't mean mean.
Right.
It doesn't mean harsh.
Yeah.
It just means what was said has this weight mm-hmm. that when it hits you,
yeah.
it challenges you to line your life up with whatever that truth is.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the beautiful thing about this transition. Mm-hmm. I'm not preaching just to preach.
Right.
I'm actually walking through this truth myself mm-hmm. and saying, wow, this changed me. It's worth sharing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Jesus, you know, God is love, and Jesus was the embodiment of love, mm-hmm. you know, but he, even though he was love, he never withheld truth.
Absolutely.
And so it's finding that balance.
That's his, you know.
You know, because he always spoke, and he gave some really hard truth.
Absolutely.
You know, he wasn't withholding of that, but at the same time, he was loving. And so there's a way, you're right, there's a way to do that.
Yeah.
There's a way to say what needs to be said while communicating.
Yeah.
I'm telling you this because I love you.
Yeah. Paul did it with every church he wrote to.
Right.
Paul did it, you know, and he did it so well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's hard, like you said, you can't separate justice and love. Mm-hmm. And justice is not judgment. Justice is just being truthful.
Yeah.
If I'm truthful with my kids, it's going to be a blessing, mm-hmm. you know, and love them at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, nobody likes disciplining mm-hmm. anybody, but at the same time, there are truths that we need. I'm thankful for the truth that God personally spoke to me when I did the Finding Father book. That AJ Jones mm-hmm. wrote, it changed my life.
Yeah,
I had God say stuff to me some mornings that was so heavy with love, all I could do was weep. Then I had some things that God said to me in that morning that were so felt so deep surgically that it was almost painful. But at the same time, I still felt love.
Yeah,
it was such a dynamic shift for me.
Yeah,
and. Me and Darlene both went through it. Mm-hmm. We both went through it. And so there's so much of that was life-changing for us that season. We would have had to go through that to be here.
Yeah.
I really feel like that.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Katie and I, we went through it too. And, you know, for me, it was those two things. It was discovering that the Father still speaks, and that I can hear him speak whenever I want to. And that just the degree to which he loves me. You know, those two things.
Absolutely.
Changed everything about me forever. You know, everything about my life felt like it got turned upside down in that season. And then you just realize, whoa, like he's really good and he really likes me, you know?
Yeah, the whole righteousness, sonship truth and all that is so empowering. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I grew up very religious, very legalistic, mm-hmm. Always earning, always trying to earn to have mm-hmm. my prayers felt or heard and experienced and being loved, you know, we grew up with all hell messages.
Yeah.
If you do this, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong.
Yeah.
And God's not liking you mm-hmm. right now. And so deep-seated religion, even now, me and Darlene talk about where we're at in this season, we still have moments with the Holy Spirit that Lord goes, hey, a little bit of religion there. Mm-hmm. Can I remove that?
Yeah.
And you don't catch it, but it's subconscious. It's buried in you somewhere.
Yeah.
And it gets touched by whatever that truth, you know? Yeah. And so this teaching on righteousness and all the stuff that we've been doing and identity, mm-hmm. which I really feel like people always ask me, you know, what do you feel your calling is right now? I think my heart right now is so focused on identity.
Yeah.
Because I went so long without having one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, I went years and years. My identity was what, how big my church was. My identity was the promotions I got through the state office. My identity was how successful I was over here or here or here. And the response I was getting was my identity.
Yeah.
And to be freed from that and to be able to get up and sit or stand or walk. And even Darlene would say to me, you know, because I used to be one of those fiery guys, you know, you know. Darlene would say in the car to me one day, she said, you know, hon, she said, I just think it's important you understand is how you say something is not important as what you say.
Yeah.
So you don't need the dynamics.
Wow.
You can get up and give truth and the Holy Spirit can take it and deliver it and it can change lives.
Yeah.
And so the need to perform, right?
Yeah.
And I think we're coming out of performance-driven church age. I think we're coming out of celebrity leaders. I think we're coming out of the prophetic business, but there's still going to be prophets. I think we're going to see a shift of having us having to try to create an atmosphere where people come in with such a hunger from such personal encounters with God that it automatically is an atmosphere that, that we just step into.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to just showing up and God doing whatever.
Yeah.
You know, hey, just sit down and enjoy this. I'm going to do a bunch of miracles today. Cool. I'm going to heal a bunch of people. I'm going to deliver. That's such a beautiful place. I'm okay with God using me, but I just love it when he shows up and just does it because he loves us.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's really easy, like you mentioned. It's so easy, especially in ministry, but you can do this with anything, to start attaching your identity to, you know, maybe you're a business owner. It's how well your business is doing, how much money you're making, you know, how many people are in the church. You know, it's really easy to attach your identity to those things.
Yeah.
But the scary part about that is all of those things can be taken away.
Absolutely.
And then you don't know who you are.
Absolutely.
But, you know, this journey we've been on that for years, I remember you've been preaching on identity for a long time.
A long time.
And so, and you know, as we attach that to our sonship, that's the one thing that can never be taken from us.
Yep.
And so I think that's another key to becoming established as a person who's truly content and
so
satisfied
good.
And fulfilled is that my identity is latched onto this thing that can't ever be lost.
Right.
And so it doesn't matter, you know, the church may be big, it might be small, may have money, we may not, but like we're good either way, you know?
It's so joyful to live from that place.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so stressful. I know a lot of people that, you know, they're saying, I just don't have my joy anymore. I don't feel the presence anymore. And I think a lot of that is just assessing, okay, like, where am I living from? How do I see myself in my relationship with God? It always goes back to how we think he sees us. And you know, to just know that he'll never love you less. He can never love you more. His love is just so consistent and so steady. It's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And so now, and even our concept of repentance now is shifted.
Yeah.
Where we realize that, you know, we can have different thoughts. We can live with a different mindset. We can have the mind of Christ. We can walk that out.
Yeah.
All these truths. I remember years ago, God, I preached the kingdom when I was at Covenant for the last probably 3 years of revival. And everybody was like, you need to take it easy with that kingdom stuff, you know. I got rebuked a lot. But anyway, I remember preaching kingdom years ago. And back then, it was even harder. Like, there was so much truth that was so offensive to people, no matter how you delivered it. And I think we're coming into a season now that's so beautiful because we can actually share what the Father's sharing with us.
Yeah.
It's not like, I can't say that because I may have some people leave. I'm going to get, you know, people are going to be mad at me, where we just get up and just encourage people, hey, it's okay if you don't get this. I'm not asking you to write it off. I'm just asking you to process through it.
Yeah.
You don't have to believe exactly like me.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But this is where I'm at.
Yep.
This is what I'm feeling. This is what God's telling me. If you want to engage in that, fine.
Yep.
And so we have a whole community about that. And God's brought us people that are on the same journey. And God's brought us people that are just starting this journey.
Yeah.
That's what's fun about it, right?
Yeah.
There's something I'm having. Noah's at, my son's at the hospital today, ready to have a baby. And we've got lots of babies at the house. Like, there's such an excitement that we miss from new babies in the church.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when we know our identity, we become a big part of helping others walk out, developing their identity with God, not getting their identity by what we say about them, but telling them our journey, sharing them, hey, this is how I discovered my identity.
Yeah.
It was a denomy of intimacy.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happened at some point in the church where we shifted, where we thought we could do the kingdom life with only a half-hearted journey with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's a full-time journey.
Yeah.
That's my study right now is on the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
It's the value of that.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a fun journey.
Yeah. Well, we've loved every part of it.
Yeah.
We love where we've been, but we're, excited for where we're going.
Yeah, too. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. And I think we're going to look back and Lord willing, I'll be able to look back and see your guys' kids moving into areas and seeing them touched by the power of God. And it's just fun now watching them worship, watching them give.
Right.
And you don't realize, like with your kids, when you get home, the little things they say in your ear, you're like, okay, that's pretty deep.
Yeah.
Well, God told me, And so that stuff is so special.
Yeah.
This has been fun, man. I love this. I think this is great.
Yeah. I appreciate you being here. Yeah. And, just thank you and to Darlene just for everything you guys have done and sacrificed to help get us to where we are today. Yeah. And,
it's been a blessing. I couldn't think of a better group of people to do the life with.
And
I'm so proud of everybody, all my staff. I'm so proud. And when I'm rich, I'm going to give you all raises. So I'm going to start paying y'all a massive amount of money. But this has been a fun journey. And I know if Darlene was here, she'd tell you the same thing. We are so, so blessed to have the people around us. I couldn't pick a better staff. We are so thrilled. We're just so blessed. We just love it.
Yeah.
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 So it's been fun.
Yeah. Great. All right. Well, again, thanks for being here. This is fun.
It's awesome.
Great.
Yeah.
And to our listeners, thanks for listening. Thank you for watching. And we hope you have a good week, and we'll see you next time.